Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman again with the ABCs of Christian Growth. It's good to have you here. And we're going to get back into our study of the letter T today concerning tithing and stewardship and what the Bible says. What does it say about tithing and stewardship? We've talked about several things. I hope that you've been having a good week and that you're blessed. And the Lord's been very kind to all of us, hasn't He? I can almost see every day, I can see every day where the Lord has been in my life. When I go to bed at night, I can see where the Lord has been through my day with me, and I'm sure you can too. So let's go ahead and get into our study, because this part that we're going to talk about today in tithing and stewardship is the stewardship of our treasure. The stewardship of our treasure. The last recording, we talked about the stewardship of our testimony. And then prior to that, we talked about the stewardship of our talents, if you remember. And I'm sure you do. But thank you for joining us today, and thank you for honoring the Lord and wanting to learn the Lord's Word. And this is the way. Now, the Lord said, "Forsake not the gathering together as the manner of some is." Well, the reason the things are like they are now is because there's a deadly virus out there, and we need to do what's right. And the Lord said, "Not let your good be evil spoken of." So the Lord's not disappointed in us getting together and doing this. I don't know when you're listening to this, but right when I'm recording this, it's the virus is at its worst. Every day they say it's breaking records, and it's at its worst, and it's killing people. And the thing about it is. The way the Christian ought to be thinking about it is that all these people are going into eternity. Not all of them getting sick and dying. That's bad enough. And the parents and the children and everybody else having to be without them and having to not be able to say goodbye, can't go around them, and they just die alone. That's bad enough. But the worst part of it is are they going to heaven? Are they going to heaven? A virus has not got anything over hell, not whatsoever. People getting the virus that are unsaved is the scariest thing. And a lot of people are coming out of it and going back home and stuff like that, and praise the Lord for that. But the idea for the Christian is look on things eternal, not temporal, not temporal. This body is temporal. You're not going to be in this body forever. The Lord's going to renew this thing and make it, not renew it, but make it brand new, give you a new body, fashioned like unto His glorious body, and get rid of these vile bodies that we have now. And that ought to tell you something about going around trying to flash your body to somebody else and show off about your body and blabbity, blabbity, blah, 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 about that kind of mess. The Lord said that our bodies are vile. They're vile. And if you told the truth about it, you can see evidence of it every day. And that it's, and that the older you get, you can tell it's happening, can't you? And the Lord's telling us the truth. And that's the attitude and the focus that we ought to have, or the attitude that we ought to have toward that thing. So we're going to get into the stewardship of our treasure. Now, this is... how I want to say it, walking on thin ice with a lot of people. A lot of people don't like talking about money when it comes to church and comes to scriptural things and what the Bible says about it. Talk about money all day long at work. Talk about money all day long around the guys or around the women. And talk about money when you're at the grocery store. Talk about money whenever you're at the bank. Talk about money here. Talk about money there. But when it comes to talking about money around the Lord's Word, it's hush hush, ain't it? It shouldn't be. The Lord used money in the scriptures all the time. The Lord even taught some lessons about the use of money and what we ought to be thinking about it. When He told Peter, he said, "Who has paid taxes around here?" And Peter told him, "The strangers do." He said, and then told him that he wasn't no stranger, because somebody had asked Peter and said, "Does your master pay taxes?" And Peter told him, yeah. And Peter didn't know whether he paid taxes or not, but he's going to defend the Lord, you know. And the Lord caught him when he was going in the door and asked him, said, well, who is it that pays taxes here in Israel? And he said, well, it's the strangers. He said, then are the children free? He told Peter, he said, then all the people that belong to God are free. You don't have to do all that. You're free from it. But then he stopped and he said, nevertheless, lest we offend them, go out there and take your fishing pole and go out there and cast a hook in the first fish that you catch. Look in his mouth, and there's a piece of money in it. Get that money and go down there and give it to the tax collector for me and you, lest we offend them. Jesus didn't care about money. He cared about money. He had got all over Judas Iscariot, who was a devil from the begin with and was a thief. He would have been all over Judas Iscariot, but he let him carry the bag all that time, 3.5 years, regardless if he was a thief. He knew what Judas was up to. And when it come to money, the Lord talked about it, and he wasn't ashamed to talk about it, but he talked the truth about it. And that's what we're going to find out today, is what does the Bible say, the kind of mind that a Christian ought to have. Now, I'm talking about somebody that's born again. I'm not talking about somebody that names the name of Christianity. I'm talking about somebody that has got the Holy Ghost dwelling in you, and you think differently, and our spirits bear witness with one another that we are the sons of God. And if you know what I'm talking about, then you know what I'm talking about. If you're in the body of Christ, you know you are. And that's it. That's it. Stewardship of our treasure. The same principles. Now, we talked about the stewardship of our time, the stewardship of our talents, and other things that we've talked about. But the same principles of stewardship that apply to our time and apply to our talents and our testimony are given for the management of our money, too. All the money that you have and receive is God's. What was the first principle? Everything belongs to God. Then that money that you have right this very, very second, wherever it is, in the bank, in your pocket, in your husband's pocket, in your wife's pocketbook, wherever it is, it don't belong to you. It belongs to God. God gives it to you to possess. And if you read on into the scriptures, God gives you money for completely different reasons than the world sees getting money for. Completely different reasons. You ought to have a whole different outlook when it comes to currency and comes to money. Money ain't got nothing to do with the Lord's reason for money and monetary things like that. Have absolutely nothing to do with the way that the world's attitude is about it and having money. Absolutely, completely, 100% different. All the money that you have and receive is God's. If you really pay attention to your Bible when we're reading it and concerned and concerning what you own as far as money goes, you're going to find out that you don't own anything here. The Bible says that you possess things, but you don't own it. Anytime the Lord refers to your stuff, it's called a possession. We have to agree with the Lord. I heard somebody say one time, there's no U-Hauls behind hearses. You ever seen one? There's been a lot of people try to prepare for death and prepare to die and start getting all their stuff to where they can take it with them or some figuring some kind of crazy nonsense out. But that's probably one of the things that troubles an unsaved person pretty highly in this world today is, what am I going to do with my stuff? The Lord said, you're a fool. He said, you're a fool if you're looking at your money and thinking that you're going to build up bigger barns and save up all your money, because your soul's going to be required of you. And your soul's going to come out of that body, and then who's going to have your stuff? Jesus told about all those things. He talked about money not all the time, but talked about it when it needed to be talked about. He didn't hold back and say, shh, let's don't talk about money. Jesus talked about money, wasn't ashamed to talk about it. And that's the way a Christian ought to be, is not ashamed to talk about money, but talk about money in the right way and in a scriptural way. And not this nonsense that goes on with unsaved people and with the world's lustful ways of what money's all about. When the scriptures speak of your inheritance now, it's over there. It's not here. Your inheritance is over there. Remember? Now, an inheritance is completely different than a possession down here. The Lord said that He's building a place for us. And ain't that what everybody's looking for anyway, is where is my place? People go here and go there and over there and far over there and near over here and just moving all over the place, bumping over and going through things and just trying to try something new, something new, something new. Why? Because I gotta find my place. Yeah. You know, the Bible says in Luke chapter 12 and verse 34, it says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You want to know what the United States of America's problem is? Is that verse right there? Their heart's in the wrong place, and their treasure is in the wrong place. America has stuffed its treasure chest with greed and covetousness and sex and drugs and education and all kind of trash that goes they sticking in their treasure chest that don't mean squat. It ain't worth nothing. It ain't going into eternity. It's temporal. It doesn't profit. It doesn't do any good when it comes to eternal life and eternal things. The Lord said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Remember, we talked last time on that last recording about your heart, that you need to watch it. Be sober, watch your heart with all, or keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And the heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Like we talked about with the testimony and things like that, that if we broke it down, it starts in the heart. Your testimony starts in your heart. If you're going to have any kind of testimony whatsoever, it's going to stem from your heart. And if your heart's about the truth and your belief is about the truth and your sincerity is about the truth and you're honest and you're just and it's pure, then your testimony will be the same way. When it comes to your treasure, it starts in the heart too. Because the Lord would rather you keep your selfish money, and if you're not giving it for the right reasons. The Lord doesn't need anything. He don't need the money that we have. He don't need, what the Lord wants is to smile upon your heart because you got a heart that loves giving. Remember the old woman that came up into the temple? Jesus was setting up in the temple with the apostles, and he was sitting there and watching the people, the Bible said, come in there and put their money into the chest or into whatever they had in the temple for the people to come in and give donation or give their money. And he talked about one person that came in there and they gave of their wealth. They came in there and he came in there and probably, and they took out all that money and them coins and everything and turned that thing over and that thing, that money dropped down in there, bing, bang, 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 and made a lot of noise, like kind of like when you're pouring pennies in one of them coin machines to get dollars. You ain't never done that? But he poured in there and the Lord seen that He said that fella gave of his abundance. He was talking about the heart. He said that was the condition of that man's heart, is that he gave of his abundance. In other words, when he come in there and look, when he came in there to give, he looked in his billfold to see how much he was going to have left after he gave the gift. He gave of his abundance. He wasn't interested in the gift giving the gift. He was interested in what he's going to have left after the gift. He gave of his abundance. But then after him came in there an old woman, and called her a widow. And she came in there, and she eased up as like an old woman would, and probably had her little cane there and was walking, and walked up to that that little thing where they're dropping their money in there and giving it to the Lord. And she reached in her little old change purse, and she turned it upside down and dropped two mites. Two mites. Now, that's, my mite is like a penny, like a cent, or like a dime, or like a nickel. It's just called a mite. It's a piece of money. And from what I understand, it ain't worth a whole lot. But she turned it up and had two mites, and emptied her purse into her hand. And then she took that and dropped it in there, and it went ping, ping. And that was it. And the Lord said, "Hey, come here, boys." And he called them over there, and he started getting excited and walked over there. He said, "Come here." He said, "You see that woman over there? She hath given every bit of her living. And that other fella gave of his abundance, but she gave her whole living. Everything she owned, she gave it, but she gave it from the heart." And the Lord just bragged on that, and he didn't think much of that other fellow coming in there and giving all that, whatever it was, that big check or whatever it was. I mean, there are wealthy people that give from the heart, but that's not what the Lord was talking about. He was trying to make an example of the difference of money compared to the heart, and that money should be controlled by a person's heart, not his heart be controlled by his money. You see? But stewardship of our treasure, very important in the Word of God, and very important for the Christian in this life, because you're not to be, you're temporarily here. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. But you do have to use money while you're here if you want to eat. And if you want to pay your bills, you don't want to go to jail and all that kind of stuff, and pay your taxes and want to eat and pay your taxes and buy some gas and pay your taxes. You know what I mean? But the Lord stressed, and he talked a lot of different times. Now, I know I'm going on with this, but you don't think that the Scriptures talk about money. Yes, they do. And they talk about treasure. But the Scriptures come at treasure, and they come at money in a whole completely different attitude as the world. You cannot compare them to, because the world's got covetousness and lust and greed and theft and you name it. Anything, the Lord said that the love of money is the root of all evil. Anything that's evil, you can track it down and dig it all the way down to the root, and it'll end up being some kind of money somewhere. That's what the Lord said. And I know it's true. You go out there and find a problem with somebody that's out in the world and worldly and living worldly and not saved and not interested in eternal things and not interested in God or anything like that, and they got a problem, and talk it out and talk it down to the root and watch where it ends up. The Lord said it'll end up at money, if it's evil. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18, the Bible says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day." Now, one in that verse right there is interesting to us as far as studying the stewardship of our treasure. Well, it says, you know, even though we may earn the money, you say, "Well, I work for it." Sure you do. Sure you do. You're supposed to work for it. And every person's supposed to work for it, is supposed to work. Supposed to work. Work is an honorable thing. And you're supposed to get paid. And the Lord is completely against somebody cheating somebody out of their labor. If somebody worked for it, the Lord said they deserve it. pay them. Now, that's the Lord's attitude toward that. I mean, if somebody's deserving of it, then it should be theirs. Give it to them. And there wasn't none of this waiting for a week to pay somebody, waiting for 2 weeks to pay somebody, and somebody doesn't give you 2 weeks' worth of labor and 80 hours of their time and their life, and you still ain't gave them their money, and they got family to feed and groceries. That was in the Scriptures. They didn't know anything about that kind of stuff. They paid by the day. You went to work, you got paid that evening. And you could buy your bread that evening. Anytime you worked, you knew that you was going to have money at the end of the day. Who changed that? I don't know. But the government getting, sometimes they get a month's worth of work out of some people. I went 2 weeks and hated that. Get paid bi-weekly. The Lord said pay them every day. Every day. But getting on into this, and even though we may earn the money through the labor that we put forth, this verse right here that we just read in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18 says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that what? Giveth thee power. Giveth thee power to get wealth." The Lord said he's the one that helps you out with getting money. The verse tells us it is the Lord thy God who gives us the power or the ability to get it. We have to take that into consideration. The Lord said be thankful for all things. And there's a lot of things that we think we do by ourselves that the Lord's the one that's holding the whole thing up. The stewardship of God's money is usually referred to in the Bible as tithes and offerings. Tithes and offerings. Now remember, we're talking about saved people. And you're in this study, and if you're not born again and you're listening to this study, I'm glad you're here, but you need to be born again so that you can understand these things that we're talking about. And that's a good thing. So before we get done with this lesson, you should believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and admit to him that you're a sinner and believe that he died for your sins and ask him to save you. And then before we get done with this lesson, you will have an eternal home in heaven. It's that simple. It's that simple. God made it simple and he made it absolutely free for the asking. But you have to come his way. His way. But talking about tithes and offerings, and talking about the stewardship of our treasure, for where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also. Now, the scriptures that we're going to read right here, the following scriptures that we're fixing to read, is going to teach you that the Bible says, what the Bible says concerning tithes and offerings. So let's listen to them just a minute. Genesis chapter 14 and verse 20. Listen to what the Bible says. "And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand, and he gave him tithes of all." He gave him tithes of all. Of course, we know that was Abraham. What is a tithe, according to Genesis chapter 14, 20? Well, he gave him tithes of all of the spoil that he got off of that battle that they just, that was Abraham when he was fighting, and they praised God because they won, and they got the spoils. And then it said that he gave him, well, that might have been with Melchizedek, I can't remember, but anyway, Abraham chose to, he gave the tithes, he gave tithes of everything that he was profited off of for that battle, for that battle. So, what is a tithe? It's a part of what you've been given. Okay, let's read another one. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 2, the Bible says, "To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all." Notice it says all, everything he had been given. If he got 10 things, he gave a tenth of that, which was one. One is a tenth of 10, you see. First it says, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Now that was the one where he met Melchizedek, and he tithed to him. That's where we see tithe, a tenth. Tithe actually means a tenth, you see. So, what is a tithe? Well, according to these two scriptures right here, it's a portion of all that you've been given. You say, well, wait a minute. You mean God gets this a tenth of everything that I get? Yeah, but it ain't the way that you said it. God already owns everything. He gave you 100%. It was his before you got it. So he gave you 100% and trusting you to give 10% of that 100% back to him so he can get things done in the body of Christ and get his work done down here, because it takes money. And you're dealing with the world, and the world loves money. And the Lord knew that. So that's why he gave us these principles to live by and to think by. And plus, it keeps us in check. It keeps our greed in check. As long as you're giving to the Lord and making you, even if you have to make yourself, and you will, you have to make yourself. Because the devil's going to tell you every reason in the world why you ought to keep it. That God owns everything. He don't need your measly little 10%. No, he don't need it. But what he wants you to have is in your heart. That you're faithful, that you trust in him. And let me tell you something. You always heard that thing about that you can't outgive God. It's true. It is absolutely true. But you're not going to find it out until you try it. But when you try it, trust me, you will not be let down. You will not be let down. The Bible says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. The things the Lord will do for you, they will be rich, not necessarily in value as far as gold versus brass or something like that, but they'll be rich in your heart. Rich because you received it from him. Rich, maketh rich, and it'll be rich because it will not have any sorrow in it. That'd be good enough right there, wouldn't it? But talking about the tithe and the offering. So what is a tithe? It's a portion of all that you've been given by the Lord. All right? For instance, what would be a tithe of $200? Say you got $200. What would be a tithe of that? Well, it would be a portion of all of it. So we start with all of it. What's all of it? $200. All right. What do you say? A tithe means tenth. Okay. A tenth of $200 is what? I mean, you cut that right off of the top before you even think about it. $20. 10% of $200 belongs to the Lord. All of it actually belongs to the Lord, but you get to keep 90%. The Lord gives you $200 and you get to keep 90% and you give him back 10%. That's a good deal. How many people would you do that with? Would you do it with your neighbor? If your neighbor said, I give you $200 and you can keep $190 if you'll give me back 10, you'd do that all with every neighbor you had, wouldn't you? But you won't do it with God? Is the practice of tithing for the New Testament Christian? That's one thing that we need to see out of the scriptures here and get this thing cleared up, because there's a lot of people that have put this thing out there saying that that was an Old Testament value. That was what they did in the Old Testament. And we're not under the Old Testament anymore. We're not under the law and blah-bitty-blob and all that kind of stuff. And well, is that what the Bible says? Well, let's look at it. Is the practice of tithing for the New Testament Christian? Some people usually those that don't want to tithe, say tithing was an Old Testament practice for the Jews only. Now, I don't know where they get that, but that's what they say. It was given under the law, they say. And the Christian is not under the law, but under grace. Well, what they just got through saying is true. But the Bible doesn't say anything having to do with tithe. It doesn't say, well, you're under grace, don't tithe. The Bible doesn't say that nowhere. The Bible doesn't say, well, you're under grace, you're not under the law, and God's not interested in money anymore about you. He's not going to deal with you having to do with money. The Bible doesn't say that. What does the Bible say? What's God's word say? Well, let's look at it. Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. The Bible says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. So what the people say about us being under the law, not under the law and under grace is true. We are in the dispensation of the grace of God. That's exactly right. And you have liberty. But you have liberty to do right and to do the things that are pleasing to the Lord, not to do wrong and be stingy. And not to believe God and not to be thankful that He's given you 90% of something. Let's look at it. Let's keep looking and let's just let the Bible answer itself. All right. Well, let's back all the way up and look at some people in the Scriptures and see tithing and stewardship of tithing, stewardship of your treasure. Let's see where it was and who it was that had to do with it in the Scriptures. All right. Well, first let's go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 14, verse 20. The Bible says, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand, and he gave him tithes of all. This is the recording in the Scripture of the first part of tithing, where tithing is first mentioned. We see that Abraham commenced it. He started it. He gave him a tithe of all. The Bible doesn't say anything to Abraham or prior to Abraham doing this in the Scriptures there in Genesis about him tithing. Abraham, just for some reason, knew that he was supposed to give 10% of everything that the Lord had given him, and gave 10%. He commenced this thing of tithing. He started it. Okay, well, that's him. Let's move on, see what else is. Well, let me finish reading that. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies unto thy hand. Melchizedek is blessing him because he just won a battle and got all the spoils that God had given him. And then what happened? He gave him tithes of all. Now, if Abraham thought it was important to the Lord and commenced this thing without orders from the Lord, don't you think it was kind of important considering who Abraham is? Well, you say it wasn't in the Old Testament. Yes, it was. Right there it is. Right there it is. Okay. So, well, that's just under the law because it said he was under the law. Abraham wasn't under the law. There was no law before Moses. Abraham wasn't under no law. He had God's law written in his heart. But he thought it was important for him to tithe back to the Lord through Melchizedek a tenth of all that the Lord had given him. Abraham commenced it. Let's keep moving. Genesis chapter 28. We're going to look at that. The Bible says, and Jacob. All right, we're down to Abraham. Isaac, Jacob. Jacob was Abraham's grandson, two generations away from him. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. This is Jacob making a vow to the Lord, that if you take care of him, give him some food, give him his food, give him his raiment, and keep him alive and bring him back in peace to the place right there where he was, and watch over him. And he set that stone down there as a witness between him and the Lord for a pillar. And he said, this is going to be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, Lord, I will surely give a tenth unto thee. You see, Jacob been watching Abraham and how Abraham's behavior was, and he learned that he needed to tithe. And he didn't have to, but he did. And there wasn't no law. The law hadn't got there yet. Okay, so Abraham continued it, and Abraham commenced it, and Jacob continued it, didn't he? All right, let's see some more. Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. The Bible says, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. The Lord thinks very highly of his portion that you have stewardship over. Now, this is getting into the law here. This is where Moses is getting the law, and this is part of the law concerning tithing. And all the tithe of the land, no matter what it is, well, how do you figure what tithe is? What by how much you receive. And all the tithe of the land, whether it be of seed, be the seed of the land. In other words, the Lord wants 10% of the seeds. And of the fruit of the tree, the Lord wants the first 10% off the top of the 100% that he gives you, is the Lord's. It's not yours. It's the Lord's. But he's given it to you in possession so that you can do what you're supposed to do with it. And he uses your hand and your feet and your heart to give it where it's supposed to be. Is the Lord's. And not only that, is it important to the Lord? Well, it's more than that. It says it is holy unto the Lord. And you know when the Lord talks about being holy, him being holy himself. And he calls that 10%, that tithe, holy. You know that it's very important. It's not if you want to or blabbity, blabbity, blah. He says it's holy. So if you take his 10% and use it for yourself, you're using something holy in an unholy way. Because you're breaking the law to begin with. Now, that's when the law come in. Who was that by? That was by Moses. So we have Abraham. He commenced it. We have Jacob. He continued it. That was before the law. And then the law came in Leviticus, and Moses confirmed it. Because it was written in the law. Give it. And it's holy unto the Lord. You say, well, that's still the Old Testament. Okay. Well, let's continue. In Malachi chapter 3, that's the very last book in your Old Testament. Okay, we're getting pretty close to the New Testament now. We're fixing to break into the New Testament. Malachi, the Bible says there in chapter 3 and verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Listen, you say what you want to say, but I'm telling you, that's Old Testament, but that is the truth, and God honors that right there, because he has given me so much just because of tithing, and he has given me so much sometimes I don't know how to explain it. I don't need any more, Lord. I can't fit nothing else in the freezer. I don't need any gas, Lord. My tanks are full. I don't need any clothes, Lord. I have all that I can wear. I don't need this. I don't need... You will have need of nothing, and He will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will not be able to receive it because you have so much. Now, I'm not talking about having a bazillion dollars in the bank. That don't mean squat to God's blessings. God gives you the things that are rich that have no sorrow with them. And they are rich. And the Lord backs it up in Malachi right there. And He does what He says. He does. That's Old Testament. But let me tell you something. I'll testify to you myself that that is truth. The Lord has never let me go without. As a matter of fact, I have to remind myself how much the Lord gives me. I put myself a little scripture on the wall to be sure that I'll read it to you right now. It says, praise the Lord, Thurman. He's been very kind to you. Remember what He has done. Give Him glory and thank Him. He is worthy. Remember that you love Him. Amen. That's on my wall right here in front of my desk. I read it every day. And I put it up there because I mean it, and I don't want to forget how much I love God and how much He's done for me and been very kind to me. And He has. But when it comes to this tithing business, it should not be an option in your mind or in your heart. It's not part of your treasure. Your treasure is in your heart. And if you give that tithe, you're honoring the Lord before you are even thinking of anything, and you're trusting in Him. And I promise you, brother and sister, the Lord will never let you down, ever let you down. Let's continue with this. Abraham, he commenced this tithing business. Jacob continued it. Moses confirmed it with the law. And then Malachi, he commanded it. He commanded it. Now let's jump over into the Old Testament, or into the New Testament. Into the New Testament. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23. The Bible says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. There's your lovey-dovey Jesus that would never say anything bad or wrong about anybody or judge anybody. There's your lovey-dovey worldly pictured Jesus that the world Jesus talks about. He called them, did you hear what He said? He said, woe unto you. That's God in the flesh saying, woe unto you. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. He named them. And then He said, hypocrites. Man, that's something. You didn't ever know Jesus talked like that? Well, He must be a hater, huh? No, He's not a hater. He's God. This hater stuff comes from the world's perspective. Hater stuff. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. The Bible says that was free right there, okay? Let's keep moving. All right? The Lord says, it says in Matthew 23:23, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not leave the other undone. Did you hear that? The Lord was skinning them Pharisees and the scribes and calling them hypocrites. Why? Because they would pull their shoulders back with their priestly attire on and walking, and everybody saying, oh, look how holy they are. And they would pay tithe and mint and cumin and tithe all that stuff and give their 10% in front of everybody so everybody could see it. And the Lord said, you're doing all that, but you ain't doing the things having to do with the law and obeying the law and obeying judgment and making the right judgments, and you have no mercy and you have no faith. He said, these ought ye to have done. What? Have obey the law, make the right judgments, have mercy on people, and have faith. He said, these ye ought to have done. But then he says this, and not to leave the other undone. What other? The tithing. Did you catch that? The Lord skinned them and he scolded them for paying tithe and not doing the spiritual part. And then when he told them that you ought to be doing spiritual stuff, you ought to be spiritual about this, you ought to do the judgment and the mercy and the faith, he said, and, oh yeah, don't leave the other undone, the tithing. So what do we got there? Abraham, he commenced it. Jacob continued it. Moses confirmed it. Malachi commanded it. And the Lord Jesus Christ commended it. He said, this is what you're not doing, and it's wrong, and you ought to be doing it this way, spiritually, and have truth and mercy and judgment and all that. He said, and then tithe. So, say what you want to say. It's in the New Testament. Right there. Look it up. Read it. You didn't know that? Why didn't you know that? Let's look at a couple more. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 14, the Bible says, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. The Bible says in his word right there that the way that a man lives and makes his living when he's preaching the word of God, which every one of you need and should be getting every chance you get, and somebody teaching you the word of God and teaching you truth, the Lord said, buy the truth and sell it not. But God commissioned it. Let me read that again. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. If a person is completely separated unto a calling for the Lord and is preaching and work laboring in the word of God for your benefit so that you can know the truth and that you can live in such a manner that you can be pleasing unto the Lord and have God's blessings in your life, then that's the way he gets paid, is by the tithing that comes in. God commissioned it. He said that a preacher gets paid that way. All right, let's look at another one. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2, upon the first day of the week, what's the first day of the week? Do you know? Look at your calendar. It's Sunday. It's not Monday. It's Sunday. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you, who's included in that? Every one of you. Who's Paul talking to right there? He's talking to the church. He's talking to the body of Christ. He's talking to the born-again believers. That's us. And he's talking and telling us updated stuff in the dispensation of the gospel of the grace of God, which we live in right now until the rapture. At the rapture, everything's going to change, but we're not going to be here. We're going to be gone. We are so fortunate to have been born in time in this dispensation to where salvation is free. A man is a fool to not prepare for eternity in this dispensation. He's a fool altogether in any dispensation, but especially in this one. The Lord has made it so easy to get saved and get eternal life that man just cannot stand it. You better get saved if you're not saved. and you better be thanking the Lord for how easy He made it if you are saved. The Bible says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him. In other words, everything that you've received, God gave it to you, and He prospered you with it. He said, upon the first day of the week, Sunday, let every one of you lay by him in store, set it aside, how God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now, he's talking to a church there in Corinth, talking about how to collect the tithe, and he's talking about tithing. He said, however God's prospered you, he said, let every one of you take that cut, that 10% out of it that belongs to the Lord, and set it aside, and on the first day of the week, bring it in. So I don't have to, we don't have to make no collections or gatherings when I come. So that's what the Lord said. That's what the Bible says. We ain't been doing nothing but reading the Scriptures. We started in Genesis, remember? And we come all the way to Malachi at the end of the Old Testament, down through there to Genesis, Leviticus, Malachi. Then we went over into the New Testament in Matthew and all the way up to 1 Corinthians, which is up to date and us, the Pauline epistles. That's who Paul was given. That's who the Lord called Paul for. He is the apostle to the Gentiles. That's us. And to the church. That's us. And he said, he didn't beat around the bush. That wasn't like Paul. He said, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. In other words, God's leaving it up to you to be honest about everything that you've got. That there be no gatherings when I come. So let's go over it again. Now this matter of everybody talking about that was under the law and blabbity, blabbity, blab, blab, blab. Is that what the Scriptures say? No, it is not. It is under the law, but it's also in the New Testament. How'd they forget to mention that? Abraham commenced it in Genesis. Jacob continued it in Genesis. Moses confirmed it in Leviticus. Malachi commanded it in Malachi. And Jesus commended it in Matthew, remember? And then God commissioned it in Matthew or in 1 Corinthians. And then Paul, he conformed it. He made it the way it's supposed to. He said, this is the way you do it. And in 1 Corinthians 16:2, right there where we read, excuse me, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now, an insincere person can make the Bible say whatever they want it to say. You can get in that Bible and you can make it say anything you want to say, but that's not reading the Scriptures honestly and rightly dividing the Word of God. Anybody can get that book, the book, and open it up and make it say anything you want it to say. But that's not how it's going to end up when you stand before the Lord. God's not fooled by anybody, and He's not taken advantage of by anybody, and He's not manipulated by anybody. If you have a sincere heart, and the Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So when it comes to your treasures and your money and the prosperity that the Lord's given you, it's not unreasonable for the Lord to ask for 10% back and give you 90%. You see the difference in looking at that thing than the world looks at it? The world says, mine, mine, mine. The Lord says, here you go, have 100%. But would you just give me 10% back, please? And trust you with it. And then we go all the way through the Scriptures and we see where some of the most godly people in the Scriptures, including our Lord Jesus Christ, that did not say anywhere, anyhow, anything, no time, no ever, about not tithing. Now, sincere people They can make the Bible say anything that they want to, but a sincere and honest person, well, I mean an insincere person make the Bible say anything it wants to, but when it comes to a sincere and honest person who wants to do what God's will is and compares Scripture with Scripture, cannot help but come up with the same conclusion. And what is that conclusion? Tithe. Do it. That's all there is to it. Just tithe. God said tithe, I'm tithing. And he won't let you down. It's money. It don't mean nothing. You're not taking it with you. And it's probably the nastiest thing on the planet to begin with. You can't eat it. And it causes more trouble in your life than it really does any good, does it? Most of the time when people talk about money, they talk about money problems. The Lord said for us not to be controlled by anything, not to let anything be so important in our life that it has power over us. The Lord is the one. God the Holy Ghost is supposed to, and the Word of God is supposed to be the ones that have power over us, not money. Now, the only way you can get in that kind of frame of mind and take out of your treasure chest of your heart and put in treasure chest of your heart is on purpose. And you start practicing it. And then it'll become natural. And then you'll be thankful for doing it because you'll see how God blesses you. And your 10% don't really mean squat anyway. It's 10%. But God gives you so much more just for honoring him with that. He could have said 50%. And you think that little old dime out of that dollar really matters to the Lord? You think he's looking at that to make sure that you give a dime and that he gets his dime? The Lord could care less about that. You know what the Lord's looking at when you're handling that dime? He's looking at your heart. Now, a study of the Scripture shows that tithing is a scriptural principle. Abraham and Jacob tithed 500 years before the law was instituted. Moses and Malachi and Jesus spoke of tithing during the period of the law. And the Apostle Paul explained tithing after the law. Now, what could be clearer than that? Christians ought to tithe. Now, we're going to talk some more about this and our treasure and where our treasure, the stewardship of our treasure, but we pretty well got this tithing thing and the fables and the theatrical plays that everybody puts on about this prosperity gospel and blah, blah, blah. God wants you to be rich, be so rich. Where does it say that in the Scriptures? Where does it say God wants you to be rich monetarily? It don't. It says rich, but it ain't talking about no filthy money. He wants you to be rich in spiritual things and rich in your heart and in your treasure chest. But talking about the stewardship of our treasure, that's a good beginning. We still have some more we need to talk about, and we're going to stop right there, and we're going to come back on the next one, and we're going to pick up on this stewardship of our treasure, and we're going to talk about things like how should Christians practice tithing, and then not that we have a question of whether we should tithe anymore. We've finished that and settled it by the Word of God on this recording, right? It's settled, right? We know what we need to do because the Bible says so. God's Word says so. It ain't what we think. It ain't what we want to think. It ain't what somebody else said. It's what God says. So whatever God says, that's what we do. Okay. And then We're going to talk about how should Christians practice tithing. We're going to talk about where should a Christian practice his or her tithing. And talk about why are we to place our tithe in the church or in the body of Christ or in the bride of Christ. And some more things we'll talk about. And we'll do that on our next one. How about that? It's been a good lesson, hasn't it? A good lesson. Well, we'll stop right there, and the Lord bless you. And I don't know what kind of tithing or how the Holy Ghost has spoken to you about tithing or any of that. That's between you and the Lord, but I hope that you'll obey, and I know you will. Whatever the Lord has put on your heart to do when it comes to tithing, obey Him, and you won't be sorry. You'll never be sorry. The Lord will never let you down for obeying Him, and you'll see. You'll see. Great peace have they that love thy law. Amen. Well, have you a good day. And it is so rewarding to be in God's Word, isn't it? Well, let's get together again and talk about some more of this treasure we have and treasure that the Lord's given us. The ABCs of Christian growth. Thank you for joining us today, and the Lord bless you for that. This is Brother Thurman. Bye-bye.